You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the PHNX Coyotes podcast. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Leave us a five-star review. I'm Leah here with Craig, PD, and Danielle. On the scale of Andre Tournier, how is everybody feeling today?
Which Andre Tournier are you today?
I know Danielle knows, so Danielle, why don't you start?
I'm feeling either 4 or 9.
Nine? Just... exhaustion, defeat.
What do you got, Petey?
I think I'm going with 9.
Okay, I like it.
I'm a one or a six.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think I'm always a 1 or a 6.
Yeah.
You?
Today?
Yeah.
This is going to surprise you. I think I'm an 8 today.
Wow,
I'm
just going to say, that doesn't surprise me. You got
the vibes. I'm wearing
going.
A tie-dye shirt, by the way.
You are.
No one has commented on it yet.
I thought about it when you walked in.
Yeah. I'm thinking of speaking in Bill Walton's voice for the entire show.
I thought it must be one of your kids.
That's cool.
I think I'm feeling, I think in my core, I'm feeling a 5.
Okay.
So there you go. Let us know which Andre Tourney you're feeling today on the scale, because that man has a lot of facial expressions. But we're going to really not talk about the Coyotes of present, because as we addressed on last night's post-game show, things are not going great. It's not been a great calendar year on the ice. So let's just talk all things future today, prospects, pipeline, and we'll round things out with a little arena discussion at the end. Everybody's favorite.
We're going to talk about the future. We're going to cast a rainbow over the entire Coyotes universe today.
Did you take OGs before the show?
I'm wondering about
it. Challenge Bill Walton.
I am in shock.
I'm so concerned about him.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, we've been shifting our focus toward the 2024 NHL draft and trying to familiarize ourselves with some of the names. And, you know, we're going to check in with those draft experts once the offseason gets started here. And one of those guys is Corey Pronman, who works for The Athletic and is extremely dialed in to the prospect community. And he just put out his three quarters of the season update on March 12th.
That's so on brand for Corey, by the way. Just indicative of how hard the guy works the entire calendar year. He just works his ass off.
It's so true. And there's plenty of other experts as well, obviously. Craig Button, Bob McKenzie, Chris Peters, Central Scouting. You can even look at those rankings. But just because of the timeliness of Corey Pronman releasing this, we wanted to take a look. And Macklin Celebrini, you know, he still remains that consensus number one guy. Corey has him tiered as elite NHL player, but the way Corey does his rankings is by tiers of categories. And tier two is the NHL All-Star category. All four guys in that category are defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We keep telling you it's a defense heavy draft. It is.
So,
at the top.
So four of the top five prospects in these rankings.
Get in there, Coyotes.
Yeah. And
get
they're
in
right.
there.
I mean,
don't finish
four
right
of the top
there.
Five. Four of the top five are all-star defensemen. That's what we're saying.
It says, according to Corey Pronman, the tier is NHL All-Star, and all four of them are defensemen.
Don't finish at 6. Don't do it. Get to four. Get in there. Get one of those guys.
They're not a problem.
You don't think so? You think it's going to happen? They're going to finish 4?
It's a disaster.
So... yep. San Jose, Chicago, Anaheim, and then Coyotes. Yep. All right. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, you can take a look at the rankings, but I just found it really interesting. And not just these defensemen, too. You look down the list. You have Anton Siliov, 6'7". You have Sam Dickinson, 6'2.5". Carter Yakimchuk, 6'2¾". And then I know Craig's guy, Artem Levchinov, who was just named a finalist for Player of the Year, Freshman of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten.
Not a bad season.
He plays for Michigan State.
You know, and I'll be honest, I didn't even find that research on my own, because as soon as I sent the thumbnail to a pair of Michigan State graduates who happened to be broadcasters for the Coyotes as well, I got that information back immediately.
So they're surprised. Pretty high on them.
They are pretty high on them, and they are pretty dialed into Sparty.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Not surprised.
Well, no, it's exciting because when you go through what this team went through this year at the first half where there were expectations, now it is focused on the draft. And again, last year, I think we kind of knew what the tiers were. We were talking about it depend where the Russian fell and what happened with that. But we kind of
felt Russian.
Yeah.
Matvei Michkov.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah.
Coyotes still drafted.
There were some tiers.
Yes.
But not to this extent where you're saying four defensemen in that tier that is that could be a Coyotes draft pick. And in an area that if you can't get that number one center, I think the next need is defensemen. So if this team can continue to stock up on defense, I think that's exciting for this draft. And I know we're going to take deeper dives as this goes on, not just, you know, Corey Pronman, but we're going to go to all the draft experts on what people think, where these guys are going to fall, to give us a better idea of who to look for when we get to Las Vegas.
I keep banging this drum, but I look at this pipeline, and I know we're going to look at the top of this pipeline by position. I still think they need another guy who can be a top pair defenseman in this league. They need another top six center. Get them both. Like, if you can't get Celebrini, here's your opportunity, as long as you get into the right draft position,
to get a top pair defenseman.
To get a guy who tracks at least as a top pair defenseman. You never know with kids this young, but play the numbers game, get more of those guys, and maybe I'll let you drive the bus here and segue.
Well, it's interesting because it feels like every postgame show this year, it's been defensive breakdown. We've been talking about the cap hit of this defensive core. We've been talking about the struggles. And then you hear, you know, the moniker, defense wins championships. But you look at the defense of the last few Stanley Cup winners, and what they all have in common is elite defenseman size, big defenseman.
Expensive.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, and guys that can skate.
Yeah.
And I think the Coyotes, some of the guys in the pipeline that we'll get to have that, and these guys clearly have that. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about all-star caliber defensemen in that category, these are guys that can skate. And I think with the speed up front of today's game and the speed and skill that there is today, you have to have mobile defensemen leading the charge. You have to if you're going to be successful in this league. And we talk about the top tier teams. When we talk about Florida, Carolina, Boston, Vegas, their defensemen can skate. So I think it's imperative, and the league's only going to get faster and more skilled. So I think this is a really important draft to set that up for 2, 3, 4 years down the future for this team.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the Coyotes' needs, and we're going to take a look at the pipeline, what's in right now. And while we're talking about defensemen, I think we should start there with which prospects the Coyotes currently have in the pipeline for defensemen. And obviously, this isn't all of them, but it's just the six most notable.
Yeah. Go ahead. You can put up the graphic first before we discuss this.
So we'll go through the defensemen on this list. Dmitry Simashev, who was obviously the Coyotes' sixth overall pick in 2023. He's 19, 6'4". Maverick Lamoureux, the pick from 2022. He's 20, 6'7". Artem Duda, he's 19, 6'1". Maximilian Zuba, 21, 6'3". Victor Soderstrom, who we've seen here in Arizona quite a bit. He's 23, 6 feet. And then Jeremy Langlois, he's 20, 6'1".
Not signed yet, by the way, and I would expect that to happen this offseason, that they'll sign Langlois. When you look at that list, and look, we have Soderstrom on this list right now. I'm curious where his place is. We could have put someone else in that spot. I think his long-standing tenure in this organization probably puts him still among the top six, but we're still waiting for something from Victor Soderstrom. I think he could be supplanted very soon. If he doesn't pan out, that list only includes one right-handed defenseman, Mavlam. So something to think about. And I know scouting staffs, management staffs will always say, you draft the best player. You always draft the best player. You don't worry about filling specific needs because you don't know what your needs are going to be, you know, 3, 4 years down the road. But it would be nice to have another high-end right-handed defenseman. There happens to be one playing again at Michigan State, who I mentioned a year ago.
God, are you his agent?
But so is Carter Yakimchuk
on the side.
Carter Yakimchuk is also a right shot. So
when you look at this list, there's a couple things. First of all, they're very young. And when we talk about development timelines, goalies take the longest and their timeline is farthest in the future. Defensemen are next because you're talking about experience, you're talking about age, you're talking about the ability to read the play. Forwards can jump into this league at a younger age because they have, I don't want to say this, their job is less physical most often, and it's just jump over the boards and play. And Connor Bedard doesn't, just put them over the boards, just go. Yeah. And I think so with these defensemen, the one thing you talk about is how young they are. I'm excited about some of them. I mean, Maverick Lamoureux had some injury issues this year. When we saw him last fall, he was exceptional. The strides he took from his draft year to the next year on his skating ability, his ability to defend and his stick, he was exciting. Like, that was a huge leap. Now, this year, I'm concerned with some health issues and some injury issues. Will he take a step backwards, or does he continue to in that path? Because I really liked him last year. The one that concerns me, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Craig, is the first round draft pick from a year ago, Simashev. We talked about his size. They're very happy with how he's developing in the K. They're talking about how many minutes he's playing. He's 15 to 20 minutes against men every night. Mm-hmm. Very happy with the way he's playing. But he's still playing in Russia, and right now there's still a year removed now. There's still issues going on in Russia.
No question.
Is there any concern yet, or is it that he's still there for two more years, so we're okay?
Well, I mean, he's here for the rest of the season and next season under contract.
Okay.
There's a lot of thought that these players may be asked to stay an additional year. If that happens, the Coyotes are prepared for that. They're okay with that. The way they view this as long as they're playing significant minutes, and they are. You look at the contributions these two guys are getting. There are nights where they sit them out because they're still young, but that'll change as they progress. Pretty much everybody views the KHL as the second best league in the world. These guys are playing there, and they're playing well there.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have to play an additional season, maybe when you come over, you bypass the AHL
You're playing above American Hockey League level against guys that are either played in the NHL or could be NHL caliber players, night in, night out at 18 years old. So that's fair. Do you think there's ever going to be where there's a fear of getting these Russian guys over? You don't think that's imminent?
I don't know that that's a major fear right now. As most people will tell you, they always end up coming. They always come. Now, this is unprecedented, right? There's a war.
Yeah,
it's a little different, and I don't know what sort of pressures they might be facing internally to stay, but it doesn't seem to be a major concern. It's almost like we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. There's still plenty of time.
Well, where does Artem Duda fit in all this then?
Yeah, that's the other one to really watch this summer.
Because his off ice and the visas and kind of like what?
And the contract situation. Will they be able to get him to Tucson? I think the ideal situation is for them to get
him to
Tucson.
Especially when they got so many
season.
Players that are already in the KHL. Does that make this more confusing and more difficult with Artem Duda's situation? Does it affect it at all on how they approach what he's got going from a contract status?
I don't think so. I think the desire would be to get him in Tucson next season. And if you start to think about this, and I'm getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here, if you have Mavlam there next year, Artem Duda there next year, Max Zuber there next year, and then we're not even talking about the forwards yet. Wow, you're really, really starting to get a glimpse of the future right there, just down the I-10.
Well, I was going to ask who else on this list.
Maybe Langlois too.
And I think Langlois is someone, you know, we've met him at development camp. He's a really nice kid, but underrated in terms of his points. He has 57 points in 57 games this season
producing.
In the Q. Like, that's crazy. You know, and maybe we don't look at him as much because he's only 6'1". He's only 6'1" instead of 6'7". But, you know, I think he's somebody that Coyotes fans should kind of keep on their radar
He's a quarterback on their power play there, and he's putting up ridiculous numbers. And I think when you look at some of those other names, when you go to Simashev, you're talking about elite skating from a defenseman, like high end.
In the defensive side of the game, right?
Right.
Like he could be, if you find your number one, your quarterback, like if a guy like Duda, or they get Levshunov to play the right side with him, he could just be the guy that protects the first pair.
I don't see Simashev as the guy that's putting up points.
I don't know
and you're
that
going,
his offense
wow.
is going to get to that point. Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
He's,
and that's
okay. it's okay, but that's not the strength of his game.
Yeah.
It's his ability to move the puck, he can defend, and he skates so well that he can defend against some of the top players. And that's going to be important as this team tries to continue to grow and play against some of the best teams in the league on a night-to-night basis. They're going to need somebody to keep up with them.
Yeah.
And can skate with Connor McDavid and can skate with Pastrnak. And I think that's what Simashev is.
Again, I keep saying it, one more piece. And it feels like this pipeline, when you look at it, you're like, okay, wow, there's some really intriguing pieces, and it feels, you never want to say it's complete, but you feel like it's deep where you have options, and that's a good feeling to have in your pipeline. Not to even mention whatever draft picks they get in the second or third round this year or the following year, the first round, or you just don't know.
Or those guys who could emerge, like, you know, Matias Michelli, he was a fourth round pick. Yeah. Like those guys who can emerge a little bit later down the road. You're like, oh, they actually really hit on this guy.
What does
guy
Justin
late?
Kipke become? Like some of the other guys that we don't even have on this list.
Right.
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Very true. Going back to the 2024 prospects, Roaring Fork said, Siliev is a lefty, but plays on the right side. You would know that, Roaring Fork. So thanks for pointing that out.
Not necessarily.
They're going to put us out of business, all these guys in our Discord.
Doesn't necessarily happen here, though, right? They may move them back to the right side because a lot of coaches like the righty-lefty.
But you want to add another 6'7" Russian defenseman on the back end with Simashev?
Imagine
that. The average height of that pair
we're playing
would
be
6'5.5".
You just have this towering defense pair. It's insane.
Can you imagine?
The nicknames like are endless.
Oh my God, rolling them all out in the black kachina. And the black, they already look bigger.
Think about the reach that these guys have in defending. What was the wingspan and the stick span of being able to defend with your stick? It's insane to think about with these guys.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll move on from the defensemen. We'll talk about all the other positions in a moment. But before then, there's always prospect talk going on in our Discord. There are people who literally watch the KHL in our Discord.
Yep.
They report back on what they see. Just one of the many random conversations that go on in our Discord. But you can only get access by becoming a diehard. Craig asked a question exclusive to our diehards in our Discord yesterday, which I will not give away. But just we try to make sure there's a lot of perks on top of, you know, 20% off merchandise, 20% off on events, including our upcoming takeover on the 24th for the pregame party at Four Peaks. We hope to see everybody there. But so many perks to becoming a diehard.
And one of them is the prospect report, which is coming on Friday.
Yep.
As I mentioned on last night's show, Vadim Moroz, Sam Lipkin, and Carson Musser will be the featured guys. But I'll have notes on some other guys as well.
Great. So I've got to be a diehard to read those as well. But you do not have to be a diehard to sign up for Desert Financial Credit Union and get in on the $200 in bonuses that they're offering. Craig banks at Desert Financial Credit Union, as does one of our diehards, Vagoda, as do so many people I know, because they help out with checkings and savings accounts, mortgages, loans, credit cards, investment options, and more. They've been around for more than 84 years. And plus, if you're a Cardinals fan or a Sun Devils fan, you get personalized debit cards, and those are always fun. So right now, when you open a free checking account online at Desert Financial Credit Union and get $200 in bonuses, get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200.
And with all the money that you got from Desert Financial, head on over to the BetMGM Sportsbook app, the official sportsbook app of PHNX. Get in the game. There's so much more than just the outcome of a game that you can keep your eye on to keep you on the edge of your seat. You can get the goal in the first 10, which we always do. You can get a Bukestad anytime goal against Minnesota.
Always.
This is true. Gosh. You ready for this? I hit a four-leg parlay in the
not
Yolts
the
versus
Apple,
Black.
Not the Big Apple.
Not the Big Apple. That just missed.
Did you explain the Big Apple parlay, by the way?
I did.
Yeah, okay.
I did.
Oh, so good.
But this is true. The Yolts Blackhawk game, a four-person, four-leg parlay, not including the outcome, $5 turned into $244 and I hit it. So that's very good news. And you can get in the game too. It's easy to do. Just sign up for the BetMGM Sportsbook app. Use the code PHNX. Place your first BetMGM Sportsbook wager through BetMGM Sportsbook mobile application. For at least $5, you will receive $150 instantly in additional winnings, regardless of your wager's outcome. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Damon talk about the disclaimer.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 New York. Call 1-800-327-5050 Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-UP Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 Puerto Rico. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
All right, let's move on and talk about the forwards in the pipeline. So we'll take a look at the six guys notably in the pipeline
that we could squeeze on this graphic.
Yes, exactly. We'll start with Connor Geeky, 19, 6'4", drafted in 2022. Yeah, right? I'm mixing up all my years. Then we have Daniil Boot from 2023. He's 19, also 6'5", reportedly.
We think.
Bill Armstrong has said, what did Bill Armstrong say? 6'9"?
Every time I talk to Bill, he grows an inch, so I don't know.
Daniil Boot.
Daniil? Yeah. Daniil, Daniel, we don't know that either. Boot. Many questions for Daniil Boot.
Yes. Josh Stone, who we know well, he's 22, 6'1". Julian Lutz, age 20, 6'2". Sam Lipkin, who won the national championship with Quinnipiac last year, he's 21, 6'2". And Miko Matika, age 20, 6'3", with Denver right now. So how are we feeling about this forward pipeline?
Again, needed a center. I want to see another center added to this group. There, and again, there are other guys that aren't mentioned here as well, right? That we've watched, like Aku Ratu or Jonathan Castagna, or there's a bunch of guys that aren't on
Tanner
this list.
Lutke?
Tanner Lutke, who just got his own honor, got his own flowers. So other guys to watch, obviously. I want to see the center depth chart deep. I want to see the pipeline deep because I've never seen that before with the Coyotes.
Yeah, in the middle of the ice. Yeah, ever. The interesting thing on this list, when you go through it, a couple names. Doner is having a great year down in Tucson. Ooh. I think he's putting up numbers that I surely didn't expect, and he's become a de facto leader down there. It's great. Leave him there. I think you're right. I do think we'll see him play at least a game and get his debut in the NHL sometime in the next 16 games. But I think he is going to be the guy that will lead this team through the playoffs. It's great. Great development. I have no problem if he's back there again next year to continue in his development. Doesn't bother me a bit. Geeky's the one that's interesting to me because Geeky came here in the fall. When we talked to him, he's a guy that was so confident, thought he could make this team, which is good. You want to have that kind of confidence that you think he's there. He's currently got traded. He's in Swift current. The team's on a little bit of a tear. They're hoping to be a factor in the Canadian Junior Playoffs. They may not be.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, he could join the Tucson Roadrunners for this playoff run. So if you see this team get knocked out of the playoffs, keep your eye on Swift Current, because here's a guy that if Swift Current gets bounced, Geeky can end up down in Tucson right away. He can go. So I think that's an immediate help.
Is he eligible to play in Tucson at 19 in the playoffs?
Yeah. I was told today the answer was yes.
In the playoffs.
From my sources. I was told that he can.
He's had a great season.
He has.
90 points in 49 games. So
we will verify
that.
Yeah. We will verify that. But he can. I know the expectations are he can join. If they get knocked out, he can join
but
Tucson.
Even so,
if it's just
the
regular season, that may be.
In the fall. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get on it.
It could be Tucson in the fall. Or, you know, again, he'll be given an opportunity to win a roster spot next season, just like he was.
And that's the point. Like, he thinks he can play on this team. But if he can't, you just mention all the defensemen that could be down there next year.
Tucson could be crazy next year.
Yeah, this could be a really good team next year.
Yeah.
Which is good, because that means there's a good team coming. And
yeah, you know who else might be there? Two more guys on this list.
Yeah.
Julian Lutz and Sam Lipkin could be there as well.
Yeah.
Just wow.
Sam Lipkin, the one with.
Can we just go to Tucson next
Lipkin's
year?
Lipkin's not signed, though, right now, right? He
not
hasn't
yet,
signed.
No.
So
that'll, Lipkin. And I had that conversation. That'll be part of the prospect report
so
with.
If they
with
can
Rand
get signed, he's another
coach.
Guy.
Yeah.
Like, he has another year at Quinnipiac if he wants it. But he's another guy. If Quinnipiac, I mean, he's already won the national championship there. Yeah. He's another guy at the end of this college playoff season. You know what? I'm ready to turn pro.
Let me get some games.
Yep.
Interesting. Quinnipiac,
and I just
deep
like to say
run, though, they
Mika
can make a deep
Matika.
Run again. That could be a Frozen Four team again.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. But I like to say Miko Matika.
Yeah, we think we're saying it right.
We might not.
Some people are saying
Matika. I might say it that way.
I don't know now.
But Matika is more fun to
Matika
say.
Matika is more fun to say, and I may try to sell that to him when I finally talk to him.
Yep.
Hey, I know you like your name this way, but
exactly.
We're really more interested in the marketing side of it. So, what do you think about this?
Daniil Boot as well. I know we just talked about the Russians. He's another guy who's playing most of his games in the KHL, has 21 points in 55 games played with Lokomotiv this season, which again is impressive as a rookie in that league. So
yeah,
and it's exciting to think about how just big he is in size and what he could potentially.
However big he is, we don't know.
We don't actually know. Yeah, we have a lot of questions for him.
The first 7 foot forward in the NHL.
He continues to grow, but he's
he'll be posting up in the slot. Go ahead.
And so these are another, when you talk about Shemyshev, Boot, you're talking a couple of years away. I don't expect them to be here a year from now, and maybe not even for another couple of years. But again, they're playing
the K. It's
great. They're not playing in the USHL. No knock on the USHL, but they're playing against.
Yeah, and on bigger roles next season.
Yeah.
So. Fine. So
they're fine.
That's good for development.
And you know, when we talk about it, go to Minnesota when they drafted Kirill Kaprizov, who's a guy that they go, well, people kind of forgot about him because he wasn't here. He wasn't in the American League. He wasn't developing through the normal channels. All of a sudden, he leaves the KHL, comes in, and it's rookie of the year because he's unreal.
Yep.
And he's ready to play against men. I think that's what we're going to see from Shemyshev and Boot. I think you're going to go, kind of forget about him. And we forgot him a little bit this year, but next year we'll forget about him a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, they're just going to show up and you go,
unless you're on our Discord and you're getting daily KHL updates.
Yes, yeah, it's true. Y'all are stalkers.
The ones with all those pictures with the circles. Joel. Like, I don't even know what those are. Like, I don't even know how to read that.
Matt in the chat says, I see Geeky doing a Gunther for next year, which is interesting. Bottom line, we have to create a spot for him here.
I could see that.
Or for him, there isn't an opening pretty much, so he'll naturally progress onto the team next year. I could also see that happening.
Sure, kind of, get some games and then earn your way up.
Pulling a Gunther situation where he earns his place because, but again, it's exciting. I agree, center is something that still feels like it needs to be addressed, but who knows, maybe Logan Cooley will go off in the future.
Did we mention the season that... Julian Lutz is having for a really good Green Bay Gamblers team in the USHL. 50
points in 37 games. Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah. They really felt like he had some injury problems, but also the situation of playing pro hockey over there. He wasn't getting the opportunity, so they really felt like getting him to North America was important, and boy, were they right about that. Boy, were they right about that. Did I mention what I'm going to have this in my story as well? I've given away too much of my prospect report. Nobody's going to read it.
No, it'll make us more
excited. When I was talking to Rand Pecknold, I mentioned it to you guys, but I'm not sure if I've said it on the air. Rand Pecknold, of course, is the coach of Quinnipiac, which just won the national championship. He's Sam Lipkin's coach. I was talking to him about, maybe what Sam's going to do after this season. And, they're putting that off. That's not the focus right now. They're preparing for the NCAA tournament. Then unsolicited, he pivots to, but I'll tell you something, Craig, that Coyotes development staff is dialed in. They may be the best development staff I've ever worked with. I'm impressed with the communication with Nathaniel Brooks, with Lee Stempniak. They talk to him all the time. There's good advice. I like the way they handle it. I was just like, wow. That was completely unsolicited from the coach of the national championship team saying that about the Coyotes development staff. So
and especially from a college program, Craig, that's impressive because they're sometimes those development staffs aren't as welcome on college campuses as you may think, because a lot of them are just trying to poach your players. And it's not about, don't care about your team. I want that for our team. So to hear that kind of positive comments from the development staff is really impressive. Really impressive.
And to juxtapose it with the past development staff, Rand Pecknold's like, I never heard from him. We never heard from him when they had Connor Clifton, for instance.
And it's great they're including the coaching staff in the discussions, too. Mm-hmm. That's really good. It's encouraging.
Yeah. Like that he talks to him. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of communication.
We need to spend more time talking to those guys.
Yeah. Matthew said the investment in scouting and development is the single most important thing going on besides the arena.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not going to argue with Matthew on that one.
Building out the future literally and metaphorically. All right. Well, let's take a look at the last category of Coyotes prospects in the pipeline, and that, of course, is the goalies. So we'll take a look. We have Michael Hrabal. I think I did pretty well there.
I'm impressed.
19, 6'6".
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's just on, his feet, too. Yeah. Not even
remember
on skates.
He told us at the draft, too, he thought he'd maybe be growing a little bit more.
Yeah. It's like, what?
Stop.
Anton Thornton, he's 20, 6'3". Melker Thielen, only 18 years old, 6'2". And Carson Musser, also only 18 years old, 6'4". So got some size in the crease coming in the pipeline.
They do. And a year ago, if you looked at the Coyotes pipeline with how Ivan Prosvitov's development had sort of stalled, you could look at this and say, this is a significant weakness in this pipeline. They are really, really, talk to Charlie McTavish, the Coyotes development, goaltending development coach, about Carson Musser for this upcoming prospect report. And they are just thrilled with this goaltending class that they brought in. All three guys are making really good strides. You went from a position of weakness to now, I'm not going to say they're going to pass a goalie if there's a really good goalie available, but like, you got to be careful. You don't overload yourself, right? Do you have too many guys in the system? They're happy with what they have right now. You know, that doesn't even count guys like, well, you mentioned Anson Thornton on the list, but also a guy like Rasmus Korhonen or even Matt Valalta down in Tucson.
Yeah, but it's funny though, Craig, because when you go back, rewind a year ago, it was Ivan. I mean, yeah, that was it. There was Ivan Prospetov.
And the two guys that you were like, well, we'll see.
Yeah, so now they are really high. And I think the guy here, the guy right now, and clearly these are kids.
Yes.
There's so much more growth, development, coaching, experience that are going to come. Like Michael Hrabal, playing at a world stage right now for the Czechovac team Czechia in the World Junior Championship.
Yeah.
Man, he got on a world stage, played extremely well, and he's kind of bumped a little bit ahead of those other guys. He's a little bit older too, but you talk about his size.
He's,
I think,
also
that helps him.
Higher.
Yeah. And so you look at him and you go, well, this kid could be the real deal. But all of these guys, not the concern, but just the keep in the back of your mind, at 18, 19 years old, like, these goalies aren't ready.
No.
We're not going to see these guys making an impact in professional hockey until 24 years old.
Agreed, yeah.
And it might be that long, and that's okay. Because I think when you look at those three specifically and in wherever they're playing, and Thornton's playing in the East Coast League, so he had some setbacks this year with some injuries and some things. But when you talk about the three that were just drafted, they're all excelling where they're at. And they're all continuing to develop in the correct direction. I'm really excited to see where they're at, because there were zero guys in the cupboard. And we're not even talking about Valalta. I think Valalta's they got to get him re-signed. And I think they will. I think he's next guy up, as it were. But I don't know if he's the franchise goalie.
No, I agree.
But these guys could be.
They could be.
They could be when this team's ready to be built.
Listen, we kept talking about Prospetov saying, well, you can't say yet because... Yeah. You don't know what goalies, because sometimes the light comes on late. And it's true. We saw with Darcy Kuemper.
Yeah.
Look how late it came on for him. So you don't know yet about, but there were concerns there. There were concerns about Prospetov.
All along with Prospetov.
Yeah. Some part of it, and I'm going to be blunt here, part of it was attitude.
Yeah.
His approach to the game.
And that's his approach to his coachability. Goaltender.
Yeah. It was always, well, he'll get better, or he'll improve on this. Or, you know, he was always talked about, his athleticism was always really strong, and his flexibility was always really strong, but it was always, he gave up a bad goal. But he'll grow out of that. You're not hearing that with these guys now. Like, you're hearing these guys are at the top of their game at the level they're playing at now. It's encouraging.
Yeah.
And of all the areas that they were lacking in the past, besides the number one center, I think goaltender was next. I think they'd started to pick up some defensemen. And I think that was always traditionally weak in the back end. But I think Bill has started that trend. He's got a few defensemen. We just talked about them. This last draft went from 0 to 60.
They drafted three goalies.
Yeah, 0 to 60 in the back end. And I think
they got two, as you mentioned, two 18-year-olds. So two younger guys. That, so
that's like
almost caught
away.
Them ahead of the curve, right? Like, because of your scouting. Yep. Like, shout out to Clay Adams as well, their goaltending scout, who does a hell of a job canvassing the country. And really the world to find these guys as well. So.
Yeah, but check out the draft. Musser, you're doing Musser on that? Yeah. Check it out, because he's, people I've talked to have got some things, what he's looking for next year, and he's getting in the NCAA. And
CC, he's going to Colorado College, where another good situation. First of all, he's got a really great goalie coach in Madison that Charlie works with all the time. But the head coach and the associate head coach at Colorado College are both former goalies.
Yeah.
Good situation to walk into.
Really good. So I'm excited to see this goalie pipeline for this team. I really am.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Roaring Fork sent us a super chat. With all this draft and prospect talk, it feels like we're about to get info on the PHNX Coyotes takeover of the
sphere.
Sounds
like an ad read.
It is. Trust me, we will let everybody know as soon as we have information. The talks,
I have a feeling Roaring Fork will be there.
Oh, he already booked his hotel.
Really?
Yeah.
Have we booked that? We're staying with you just in case.
Pull out couch. Get ready. As soon as we have information on a PHNX Coyotes draft trip, we will let you know. And everybody should know, in case you don't, we are planning a draft trip. So there's going to be events. We're going to take over. Last year, we can drink. Last year, we went to Nashville. We did a boat cruise. We went Love in Exile.
It was fantastic.
So, you know, I don't think we're taking a boat cruise in Vegas, but we have a lot of fun.
I mean,
stuff.
Like me, just saying. Water levels are up.
We can or go to the Venetian, do a little.
Oh, we get to gondola. Me and CWP in a gondola rolling underneath the bridge there at the Venetian.
You want me to play that?
Oh, yeah, only if you sing. Like,
yeah, I'll sing, me and CWP, you're in. I tell you what, that last year's draft events were amazing. Yeah. And I will say I was kind of negative about the boat trip.
Well, until we actually went on. It got off to a rough start. Yeah. But yeah. Then once we found it, but, it was great.
I'm excited for it. I'm really excited for it. And it's closer to home, so we should get a good turnout. So it should be fun.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the Coyotes could be picking anywhere from 1 to 4.
Yeah.
What if this is the year?
Let's hope. Oh, don't say it. Don't.
You know what? Well, it could be the year.
Let's say it.
You know what? It could be the year.
Let's put it out
there.
We
haven't talked about it all year.
That's why I think it could be.
That could be the year. Could be. See?
We're a playoff team.
So we should stop now.
Yeah, stop talking about it. Playoff team.
All right. Well, for all of the draft picks coming in the pipeline, or anyone coming to Arizona, I hope they know about Illegal Pete's. I'm sure all
they
the guys
in Tucson
on the Roadrunners know that is a happening spot for the Roadrunners team. But everybody should know about Illegal Pete's because they have the best bowls, burritos, tacos, queso, margaritas. And right now, it's college basketball season. And win or lose, Illegal Pete's is here to bring you a win with their legendary soundcheck deal. Bring in your ticket stuff from any ticketed event and get a draft beer or house margarita for a penny. Illegal Pete's wants to celebrate with you, whether it's pregame or postgame party. And with locations in Tucson and Tempe, they got you covered on all your game day needs. You must purchase an adult entree to redeem Illegal Pete's soundcheck deal. Illegal Pete's, your go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer.
Petey, I'm hungry. Do we have any snacks?
We do have snacks, and ironically enough, but thanks to CWP and our diehards, we have snacks again because of all of the snack thieves, the Circle K snack thieves that are here. We've got a snack cart that's free. Don't steal our snacks
at
Circle K, because
with.
You know what Circle K is? It's America's thirst stop, snack stop, and gas stop. My tank, true story today, my tank got down to 155 miles remaining.
Oh, my God.
So it was hurry up and pull in. And I pulled in and I filled up just in time at my local Circle K. And I'm saving money with every fill-up because I belong to the Circle K membership program, the Inner Circle, and you can too. You get 25 cents off per gallon on your first 5 fill-ups, and you get 3 cents per gallon on every fill-up after that. And you get every 6 item free on a selection of Circle K products, including pizza, coffee, and their ice-cold fountain drinks, and their Polar Pop sweat-free cups. Join the Inner Circle for free by downloading the Circle K app today. Terms and conditions apply at participating locations. Visit CircleK.com for details.
P has gas in his tank that's been there for 2 years.
Yeah, probably.
There's like things growing. There's things growing in there.
I got to 155 and I said, it's probably time. It's 26 miles round trip, or 26 miles to here. So I need to have 40. So I could probably make it here 3 or 4 or 5 times. But why put it off? So I pulled in today on the way here.
Remember when I made it to 3?
There is no. Imagine the anxiety.
While you did it,
the anxiety attack.
I lost his mind.
I'd be sweating bullets. So anyway, stop at Circle K, get your gas.
Oh, this is a great comment.
That means you, Shelby.
Did you see, by the way, the other day when Derek was asking which Disney character everyone in the office was?
Yeah.
And I had you pegged immediately as Marlin from Finding Nemo.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had to Google it.
Wow.
I had to Google it.
You've never seen Finding Nemo?
No, I did. I saw it. Once I saw the character, I did. I don't see it.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Great character, by the way.
Yeah, Albert Brooks.
That's
a great choice. I got an Albert Brooks vibe sometimes. I can see that.
All right. This is a great comment from I Don't Know Yo. Thank you for always being such a good vibe. Definitely needed when all you hear is other fans basking in our uncertainty. Much love from Sweden. Thanks for watching from Sweden.
I wonder, is it dark right now? Is it light?
I don't know. It's March now.
I'm not so good with time zones.
I don't know.
Sweden. That's awesome. Love Sweden.
Yeah, it's dark.
Ulf Samuelsson, one of my favorite coaches all the time.
Oh,
Ulf.
Ulfie.
Swedish.
All right. Well, it's that time in the show. You know what time it is.
I don't. I better look at the rundown.
It's arena talk time.
We will get appropriate sound to go with this. Danielle created this awesome lower third, though, arena talk alert. I love this. And you're probably going to get a lot of alerts this month because arena news is coming. We've reached arena season early. I think everybody knows by now that the parcel of land that the Coyotes are pursuing is going to be discussed at the Arizona State Land Department's, what's the committee called again? Appeals Board.
Yeah, raises some confusion with the term.
Weren't you so excited to get into government when you became a sports reporter?
Yes, exactly. It's on their agenda for tomorrow. That doesn't mean It's going to be posted for public auction immediately. I've heard, and who knows, this could change. It could take a week for it to be publicly posted, but it's expected to be publicly posted. It's the Coyote, so I know you're all waiting. Are you sure about that, Craig? No, I'm not sure about it. I'm not sure about anything with the Coyotes, but that is the expectation that will be posted for public auction. And then you've probably read the Arizona Republic had an article where the appraisal came in at $68.5 million for the land. We know that the minimum time that has to be publicly posted is 10 weeks. Could be even longer than that. We could see an auction like in mid-June, for instance. But there's a lot of stuff that's coming down on the arena within the next couple of weeks. And we'll have coverage of it, of course.
As you said in your newsletter, the Coyotes offseason is arena season. Well, arena season has come early. Mm-hmm. And it all starts tomorrow, Thursday, with that land auction meeting. So, Craig, what else can we expect with this? Actually, the sound of the unexpected arena talk should just be a deep sigh.
The unexpected. That's what we should expect.
So
first
are there
of
more people bidding? Or is it just the Oats?
We don't know, but one of our diehards did some research through public records and found that only 22% of these land auctions that have occurred since 2017, there have been over 100 of them, had a second bidder. And this backs what I've been telling you guys.
Only
22%. And what local politicians have been telling me, normally, in the vast majority of these cases, when this land gets posted for auction, there's only a single bidder. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen here. You have that Coyotes cloud in the back of your mind saying this, they'll be in the 22%. You just don't know. But if that happens, if there is a second bidder, Alex is going to have to win it. He's going to have to win the bid. This is all on Alex Morello. Nobody else now. Win the bid. And people have asked me, well, if there's no other bidders, can they pay less for it? Can they bid less? No. The appraisal price is the minimum price that you have to pay. So there's no getting around that.
What else? What is the timeline then if for the posting and when this auction could happen?
Maybe mid-June is what I'm hearing. It could be as soon as 10 weeks.
But I'm still stuck on that number.
It could be pushed out, yeah.
That 22%. You're saying that my math, I went to North Dakota, so it's not known for their math. But that's 78% of these auctions were one bidder then.
Yep.
Which is more than 50%.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but I know that math.
It's more than 60% too. It's more than three quarters.
So all I hear on the street is, well, what about this secret microchip company? Or what about a distribution center? Or what about, I'm like,
from
what?
All the trained reporters out
yeah,
there?
All the trained reporters. Yeah. Well, I heard it's going to be this. So, like, buddy, cool your jets a little bit. Yeah. So, having said all of these things.
Yes.
What the hell is Anna Gell thinking?
That's the $1 million question.
It's the $68.5 million question.
That's good, Leah. This is where I come at all of this. What I've been told is this is a 3-year construction timeline, right? So you know what that means. That means 3 more years at Mullet Arena. The Coyotes originally signed for how many years? 3 years plus a 1-year option. That was the deal. Now, listen, I've talked to Morgan Olsen at ASU and they're not kicking the Coyotes out. They're happy with the arrangement. They're obviously profiting from the arrangement. The ASU is not going to make the Coyotes homeless. Mullet will be there if they need it to bridge the gap. The question is, how does the league sign off on 3? Maybe I hear 3 and I think, okay, so that's the best case scenario. What happens if there are delays? What happens if there are lawsuits? Who knows what they find? Maybe they find artifacts on the land for a hit.
Why would you put that in
the
universe?
That would be so Coyotes, right? Like people have asked about an archaeological study, which
you
have to do.
Well, I've seen people ask about animals.
Yeah, I mean, so you have to do all that stuff. So could there be delays? Of course there could be delays. Could it be 4 more years at Mullet? How does the league sign off on that? And what does the PA have to say about that? Is the PA more satisfied because, okay, there's some finality, or are they still saying, you're going to make NHL players play at Mullet Arena for 4 more seasons or 3 more seasons, even if it's the best case scenario? That's my biggest question. That's the one that I keep coming back to. Really, are they really going to say that? Now, flip side, as we saw with those Richard Rodier tweets, does the league have any grounds to force a sale? Do they have something that allows them to do it? And if not, do they not want to push this because they fear a legal battle with Alex Morello?
Well, and here's, again, I'm going to preface my comments with, so if this gets out into the Twitterverse, I am not a reporter. I haven't talked to anybody. This is not reporting. This is my opinion. This is an opinion.
So like most of what we see on Twitter.
Right.
Okay.
But if it appears to be that this is going to go to auction by June, and it appears to be that Alex Morello is going to be one of maybe one or one of two or one of three bidders, but he's going to be a bidder on this land in North Phoenix. If the NHL was concerned and thinking about moving this franchise now, would they allow a current owner to spend upwards of $70 to $100 million buying land and then going after he purchased that $70 to $100 million in land on, for a team he currently owns,
yep,
and turn around and say, oh, by the way, we're moving your team to Salt Lake City? I have a hard time grasping that Alex Morello would go, whoa, I just spent $100 million, $75, $70 million on this land and moving the team. I'll see you in court.
Yep.
Because I don't think if the league wanted to move the team, they'd say, Alex, you know what? Why don't you hold off on this auction?
Yeah.
Why don't you not go to the auction? Why don't you not spend your money and we'll figure things out? I don't think there is any possible way that they would allow a current owner of a current team to spend $70 to $100 million buying land and then move the team. I just don't see it.
Yeah, that's a hell of a precedent to set, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we pulled this end around on you as an owner,
yep,
even though you were moving forward with this process that could produce a final result.
Right.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that too. I have a hard time believing that the league would say, yeah, okay, unless Alex wants the land anyway and could develop it for something,
sure,
else. I don't want to close off that possibility, but yeah, it seems very unlikely that the league would allow him to go forward with this without saying, hey,
right,
sorry, it's not happening.
And we all agree here that if he does not win the land auction and there is no immediate plan B, I mean, like the next morning, I bought the land by Craig's house and we're going to put an arena there. If that doesn't happen If it doesn't happen the next morning, all bets are off. Everything we've talked about, and people say, oh, they might move. Yeah, they might. They might move. If he doesn't win that auction and there's no immediate plan B, does not surprise me one iota if this team plays somewhere else next season. Not at all. But I think you have to let this process bear out. And all we're hearing now is there's the auction in June. And if he wins the auction, I don't see there's any way that this team moves.
So how do you get past the 3 to 4 years at Mullet Arena?
Yeah, I don't know.
The PA is not going to be happy with that.
I don't know.
Some players are not going to be happy with that.
They're not. I keep hearing, I've seen Glendale and do a bridge deal in Glendale. I've seen that on Twitter. I've had people DM me on that. Are they going to Glendale, Craig?
I don't think so. Listen, I'm going to have a story on all this soon.
Yes.
I'm going to touch on all these angles, but
it's the same
if you're thinking, like I've heard
about,
people,
Craig,
say, oh, they could play even like a hybrid season between Mullet and Glendale, like the Islanders did,
yeah,
with Nassau and,
yep,
and Barclays. I don't think that's happening.
And I also think that all you have to do is go back and watch our show from three seasons ago when we were talking about the Coliseum, when we were talking about the Footprint Center, we were talking about other options. There just aren't any.
Yeah.
There aren't.
It's Mullet or
it's Mullet
or move.
Gone. Mullet or move. That's it.
Yep.
Well, hopefully one day when the arena is open and everything is set and the Coyotes are playing there, I'm sure there will be Four Peaks on tap.
We better get it
at
going.
Every bar.
See, they really should
in
have
every
that.
Suite, everywhere in the arena. And
they should
I will,
consult with us, really.
I will personally make sure it happens. Yeah. Because that is what fans deserve after this whole ordeal. I know everyone could use a Four Peaks after any arena conversation. I certainly can. Rudo, pop it
Rudo.
In the chat. Rudo, future or PHNX, future is bright. Thank you, Rudo. I appreciate that. And it's even brighter with the Four Peaks in hand if you're drinking the golden ale. Oh, wow. I know there's going to be a lot of Four Peaks at Craig's St. Patrick's Day party this weekend. So make sure you stock up on Four Peaks. Visit fourpeaks.com/locator to find all your favorite beers and events. Check out at Four Peaks Brew or at Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest at Arizona's hometown brewery. You must be 21 or older to drink Four Peaks. Please enjoy responsibly.
And then, just like we're talking about Alex Morello changing the landscape of North Phoenix, you can change the landscape of your house by getting new flooring today for a fraction of what it's going to cost Alex Morello to build a new building in North Phoenix. You can change the interior of your house with new flooring at Empire Today. With Empire Today, you get to shop at home convenience, the right product for your needs with quick and professional installation. Empire Today, you can't be beat on quality service and speed. Working with Empire Today is easy, it's quick, and it's convenient. You get someone in your home that day to eliminate back and forth to the box store. Speed and service that you won't get anywhere else. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use the promo code PHNX. Restrictions apply. See EmpireToday.com/PHNX for details.
And just to follow up on that, no archaeological sites or animals will be harmed in the installation of your flooring.
Well, I don't know, Craig. I've been to your house. You know. like you never know what's buried under that concrete. Buddy, just saying.
Oh, my God.
Somebody said Dateline.
Wild accusations happening right here.
Pesky DNA.
The endings of our shows recently have gotten off the rails. Any final thoughts before we wrap this one up today?
Future's bright. I think that's we've said it here. The future's bright, and I just hope as our boss Saul Bookman looks on as they're getting impatient because they're still starting. I just hope they keep Craig in here and I long enough to actually see the future. Yeah, you know, Leah nice. Will be here because she's good at what she does. You and I,
She's young too, buddy. You know,
yeah.
I don't know what state of mind you and I are going to be in when it happens
after your next hip surgery. My knees don't work. Like this. I know.
You're going to like be in your electric wheelchair. Like, beep, getting into a position.
Where's the arena going to be, Craig? What arena, Petey?
Good Lord. God. This is why we're getting Danielle into hockey so she can take over.
Exactly.
Danielle, I feel like you want to chime in.
Saul's taking notes right now.
He literally is not hearing us. He's got headphones in. Has no idea that we're talking.
Danielle.
So I had a follow-up on the Andre Tierney board. Mood after board? The arena talk.
Oh, let's take a look.
How are we feeling now?
Okay. So after the arena talk, how is everybody feeling on the Andre Tierney mood board?
I'm a solid 3.
I'm going to say a 9 because I'm just tired. Or maybe a 7.
I'm still an 8 because my mind is going.
There we go. I'm so glad you're
and you're just continually
just
happy
all the time.
I respect that, Craig.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, that's everything today from us. We'll be live again tomorrow after the Coyotes take on the sliding Detroit Red Wings. We'll see what happens there. Will they continue to slide or will they get revenge on the Coyotes? We will find out. But in the meantime, everybody hit the thumbs up on this video, whether you're watching live or later. If you're listening on audio, be sure to leave us a review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We have an audio only episode coming out later this week, so stick around for that. You can follow us on Twitter at @SPetersHockey, at Leah Merrill, at Craig S. Morgan, at @AbracadDanielle. Follow the show at @PHNX_Coyotes. Be sure to subscribe to PHNX Sports on YouTube as well. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. And we will see you all
tomorrow. Goodbye, Cody Coyotes Nation.
Oh my God.